Hello and welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, episode 355. I am your host, Vince. How are you? You look fantastic. Wanted to say hello. I am back officially from Fallout New Vegas Day, from the Fallout Fan Celebration in Good Springs, in Prim, in Nevada. I even got to walk over to California for a moment. How are you? Thank you for having me. You look fantastic as always. As you can hear, I have a little bit of a sinus infection. I know. But I'm here. I'm back. I had the time of my life. I'm working on a video right now. I took a camera with me and I recorded as much as I could. I did as much as I could. And I'm working on something right now. This is just a little interstitial that I want to do. There's a piece of lore that we're going to do today. It's a little different, a little fun, a little new. Not something I've ever done before. Something that I'm surprised I've never done before in all 300 and something episodes. Welcome to the show. Before we get into anything, I want to talk about something real, real quick. And that thing I want to talk about real, real quick is this all the stuff about the show that's come out. So I wanted to record it and I didn't because I was packing to get ready to go to the Fallout fan celebration. And there was all this stuff about the house always wins. And I went on Displate where they have these displates that are being sold that say the house always wins. And it has Lucy and Maximus and the ghoul running around New Vegas. And then there's another one that just says the house always wins with Lucy the Ghoul and Maximus's chips and says the lucky 38. And it looks like there's a vault door on it. And everyone's going, oh my God, they canonized the house ending. Oh my God, they canonized the house ending. We see that the NCR is in shambles and we see that Caesar's Legion still exists to a degree, which we do. But we see so little of it, so very little of it, that I can't imagine that it's actually going to be canon, more or less. I don't see it not being canon. I just think what they're going to do is they're going to bait and switch us. Genuinely. I think what's going to happen is you're going to watch the first episode. And you're going to be like, oh my God, House won. And by the end of that episode or the beginning of the next episode, you're going to be like, oh, House won? And then it's going to be like, oh, House won? And then by episode 8 or episode 10, however long the season is going, you're going to be like, oh, they won? I don't think they're going to canonize. I don't think they're going to canonize an ending. I really don't. I don't think they're going to say this is definitively what happened. I wouldn't be surprised. They're like, it's an amount of time after. There's a video of Aaron Morton going, This is an amount of time after New Vegas. It goes from 2281 to the 2290s. So it's over 10 years. I wouldn't be surprised. It doesn't matter who won. And the rest of the Waste is in such shambles that this is just where we are. This is back to, you know, it being what it is, and what it is just a wasteland. It's just nothingness, and that's what we're dealing with right now. It was fun to speculate. It was a lot of fun to speculate, especially with people who I've never met before, that we were meeting for the first time while we were there in line. I do think this screenshot, I'm going to have it on screen right now, this screenshot, I think this is Goros. I think this is the talking Deathclaw. I hope they pull all the wacky campy shit from all the past games. This is Goros. I'm just betting that this is Goros. I don't have any proof. I have no proof that this is Goros, but I'm thinking that this will be him. And I'm thinking that people are going to either love him or hate him. I'm going to love seeing him. I'm going to love seeing Goros because that's the type of character I want to see. I want to see something niche from Fallout, like older Fallouts. That's what I really, really, truly, genuinely want to see. I mean, I'm still very excited for season 2. There's another piece of thing that might have spoiled something of Lucy punching the ghoul. It's on a hoodie and it's on a bag. And now I'm seeing these for the first time that are, I'm not going to post these just out of fear that they might actually be spoiling something for somebody. But there's one of Lucy maybe doing drugs. I'm super excited, but Lucy punching the ghoul, and people have kind of taken two screenshots of them together. I don't really understand why this blew up as much as it blew up, but it blew up. I don't really think it matters. It's a show built on character dynamics. Two characters are not going to get along. It's okay. I don't see what the whole big problem is. I think the show, I just can't wait for the show. I can't wait to do Vault Boys with Kyle. I can't wait to do Vault Boys with Kyle. But tell me what you think in the comments below. Tell me if you think they're going to canonize House. I really don't think they are. I don't even think they're going to talk about the Courier. I think they're going to be like, yeah, that guy. And I was reading on the Fallout Wiki that it said after the Battle of Hoover Dam 2, the Courier goes to Lake Mead and slowly ghoulifies for some reason. And I don't remember why. And I just remember being like, this is a rabbit hole I'm not willing to go down right now because I have to do all of the lore stuff. But stick around for the rest of the show. I got some fun lore and I've got a review at the end. It's not going to be a blind review, but it's still a review nonetheless. And I'd love for you to stick around for it. But before we can get into the lore, I really quick have to talk about the Patreon. So before I go any further, some names on screen I'd like to thank real quick, starting at the top. I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. After Danish Hound Dog, I have to thank Brotherhood Outcast. Thank you to Brotherhood Outcast. And last but certainly not least, someone who is here tonight in the studio audience, someone who's watching the episode get recorded live, we have Willie DeWitt. Thank you to Willie DeWitt. If you like the show, check it out. Check out the Patreon. Bunch of features there. There may be some tweaks in the future. Not going to lie to you. Maybe some tweaks, some fun stuff coming. Check it out. I'd really appreciate it if you did, because even at the $1 tier to the $10 tier, there's a bunch of stuff. Also, while you're here, check out the Redbubble. I got this shirt that I'm currently wearing. The merch on Redbubble. Check it out if you get a chance. I'd really appreciate if you did. Get a design. Link in the description. Thank you to the Patreon. And now, on with the rest of the show. Hey, I just remembered because I accidentally saw it when I was doing the last part. When I was in Vegas, I got a tattoo. Hold on. I got it. Hold on, there it is. I got a tattoo of the Vault Boy winking on my arm forever now, on my left arm, the Pip-Boy arm, because that's where my Pip-Boy should be. This is my first ever tattoo in the New Vegas Fallout Fan Celebration Day thing. Thank you, Willie DeWitt says, that's sick in chat. In the fan celebration video that I'm working on currently, there's footage of me getting a tattoo. You're going to see more about it, but now I'm branded. I love this series. I kind of wanted to take a picture of it and just put charisma build on Instagram, but that's not really my shtick. Anyway, I now am branded for life because this is one of my favorite things ever. I wanted to share a quick clip of me getting my tattoo at Labyrinth Tattoo in Las Vegas after the event. This was on the 18th. This is my artist, Dallas Carlos. They're on Instagram as Vault Tech. You might know them. They've been in the Fallout community for such a long time. It was a huge honor to get my tattoo done by them. They're someone who I've been following for a very long time. Someone who I've been just a fan of them being around in the community. You know, their cosplays that I've seen before the event that I went to today. You know, when I get a tattoo by the person who is the Fallout tattoo person, it means a lot to me. I'll put a link to their stuff in the description below. I advise you to check them out. It's great stuff, great art. I had a great time there. I feel very welcome. I feel very safe. We watched a little Futurama, which is always nice. And they stabbed me repeatedly for like an hour and a half. And I was kind of a little bitch about it the entire time. So I want to thank you. Thank you. I'm sick and I'm working on a big video and I'm doing a bunch of other stuff. And I've recently moved and got a new job, which I know I've been saying is a problem for a while, but it's starting to catch up in a big, bad way to me. Anyway, I normally ask the Patreon. It's another reason to check out the Patreon. I usually ask the Patreon what they want to hear. I put out a poll, but this week I've been busy doing everything and anything. Also, they kind of screwed me at work with my schedule, but whatever. This week, I have a fun lore for you, something I've never done before, but if you want to hear any sort of lore, and I mean any lore from the Fallout series, the show, the games, the one comic book that we have, anything, check out the Patreon from the $1 tier to the $10 tier. Your voice is heard when it comes time to choose lore. This week, I chose the lore, and I'm bringing you three pieces of lore, actually. Debatable if they're lore, but I'm bringing you three pieces of cut content from the Fallout series. So for this week's lore, I have three pieces of cut content for you. The first one I'd like to talk about is, and I'm going to probably say this incorrectly, but Fallout from Fallout 3, Burkittsville, Burkittsville. B-U-R-K-I-T-T-S-V-I-L-L-E. Burkittsville. Somewhere in Maryland. It's a real place with a population of about 150 people. A vault was built here. Not sure which one it is. It's never given a number. I wouldn't be surprised if it is Vault 100 because it's not far from 101. And I was reading on the wiki that there is a Vault 100 somewhere in that area. I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukepedia, if you will. I love these games. I play these games. But every now and again, you need a reference, especially on something like cut content. Now, near this vault, a group of cannibals has set up and is attacking anybody who's trying, because they got to eat, is attacking anybody who's trying to get inside of the vault. It's only mentioned in Hamlin's Hideaway on a terminal entry, and I'm going to read for you the terminal entries in full. July 19th, 2077. Finally done. Maggie wanted us to sign up at a Vault-Tec shelter, but I've never trusted those bastards. It took a lot of work, but Frank helped me get all the parts together and hauled out to the acreage to build this shelter. Air filtration, chemical toilets, artisan wells, the whole nine yards. Frank's connection got us the generator cheap too, and we don't have to worry about sharing quarters with whoever got their name on some waiting list when the day comes. I wish I could say if the day comes, but it seems like a matter of time now. How could it have come to this? December 24th of 2077. Robin wanted to play with the computer for Christmas, so I siphoned some juice from the fusion generator to power this old thing. I know she'd rather be playing outside in the snow, but she knows that we can't go outside yet. I'll check the Fallout levels again tomorrow while she's playing, but I doubt we'll be heading out anytime soon. Damn commies must have hit us hard. December 25th, 2077. Merry Christmas. Cute kid. Huh. February 13th, 2078. Don't believe it. Frank showed up today. He was on a sales trip when the blast hit, selling generators to a mining operation in Pennsylvania. Being in those shafts probably saved his life, but the shockwave also knocked out every power line, feeding them light and air. Falling debris killed the foreman standing right next to him. He doesn't even know how long he'd been crawling around in that tunnel before he got outside, the poor bastard. Sounds like the water's boiling. Some hot soup will do him good, even if it's that powdered crap we hauled in here last year. February 14th, 2078. Frank's in bad shape. Arms and face are all burned up. He got a lot of blisters that look infected. He went through hell out there. Hardly anybody alive. All those he met almost did him in. He tried to get into a vault near Burkittsville. They wouldn't open up, and he was almost killed in an ambush on his way out of there. He said those folks were skins of men. Cannibal bastards must just wait for their next meal to come looking for help at that vault. Frank steered clear of them and headed straight here after that. He's been on his feet for weeks. February 28th, 2078. His hair was falling out within weeks of him showing up. I wanted to believe we could save him, but there's no way a few iodine tablets a day was going to reverse the radiation he must have been exposed to out there. He was a good man. He deserved better, but I can't go out there and give him a proper burial. Maggie's going to stay up with Robin and let her play with some holotapes tonight. That's when I'll take Frank in the back and cremate him. I wish our furnace was big enough for him to go in one piece. God help us. How could it have come to this? That's all I have for Fallout 3. For Fallout New Vegas, if you know me, you probably guessed I was going to talk about this one. Gojira. I'm a big Godzilla guy. Gojira is cut content from New Vegas. It's called just a gecko when you spawn him. If you want to spawn him, it's player.placeleveledactor@me/11324A. Gojira is a giant fire gecko, a monster fire gecko. It's about the size of a super mutant behemoth, and it has its own unique weapon called Gojira Flame. It does a base damage of 400, a DPS of 3200, and has a whopping 8,000 hit points. The courier's maxed out hit points that you can get is 885. This is a reference to Godzilla, the king of the monsters. The three things you could set against it that are the strongest creatures in the game are the X-42 giant Robo Scorpion, a legendary Deathclaw, and a legendary Bloatfly, and those still cannot kill Gojira. If you are able to kill Gojira, He drops Lanius's Blade of the East and General Oliver's uniform have a chance to drop, as well as mole rat meat. He's a behemoth in every sense of the word. He's a monster. Even if you have the animal friend perk, he will not flee. And the person who made him, and I'm going to probably say this name wrong and I apologize, Seth McCougey, a New Vegas dev, made him to terrorize Camp McCarran. And lastly, for this bit of cut content that I have for you, is a fun one from Fallout 4. It's a quest called Off the Grid. I tried to keep this kind of in a theme, a location, a creature, and then a quest. This one's called Off the Grid. It has a name, and it has a quest logo, like a profile picture, essentially. But there's nothing else really about it. It's implies that it has something to do with Diamond City. I like to think that maybe because for this to be activated, you have to be at the 600 stage in the Minutemen quest line. And the way the Fallout games work is it's out of 1,000. At least for Fallout 4, it's out of 1,000. So it might be like 100 starts it or 50 starts it, and then 200, and then 600, and then, you know, 750, 800, 900, 1,000, and then the quest is complete. That's at least the way it's described in pictures on the Fallout wiki, the Nukapedia, if you will. And this has to start at the 600 level. And it just shows what seems to be Diamond City for the baseball spotlights kind of looming in. And I like to think that maybe Diamond City chooses a side. Diamond City goes, okay, we're either going to be with the Brotherhood, we're either going to be with the Minutemen, or we're going to be with the Institute, or we're going to be with the Railroad. And it's called Off the Grid because another faction goes, if you're not with us, you're against us, and you have to lose your power. And then you probably go on some quest. That's my idea. I wouldn't be surprised it has to kind of go into the Bunker Hill thing, that big battle in like the last, you know, 70, 80% of the game. I wouldn't be surprised if it had something to do with that. But more of Diamond City is always a good thing. It's another reason why Fallout 4 should have probably had another 18. There's a theme with Fallout games of getting an extra 18 months of development. If it had a little more time, they could have built it out a little bit more. Diamond City is one of my favorite settlements, so I wanted to talk about this because I don't know when the hell else I'm ever going to get a chance to talk about this in particular. I hope you've enjoyed that. It's something different, something that I've never really done before. Talk about some cut content. I hope you've enjoyed that because that is this week's lore. So for the third and final segment, I have a treat for you. Last time we spoke in an official manner like this, I reviewed the Sunset Sarsaparilla, and this time, I'm going to review the grape, the Nuka-Cola grape. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I tried this already, so it's not blind. I tried this when I was in Prim. I tried this when I was in Nevada, when I was in Good Springs. I don't like it, I'll be honest with you. But I also drank it when it was warm. When you got there and you got off the bus, you went behind the Pioneer Saloon, and then you kind of just walked into the Jones Soda booth. And I immediately was like, oh, give me a Sunset Sarsaparilla if I'm here. And they were warm. They didn't have ice. Couldn't find ice in the desert. What a surprise, right? But I bought a Sunset Sarsaparilla and I bought a Jones grape, a Nuka grape, because I wanted to try it. Again, here's the Nuka grape. I didn't like it. I'm not a big fan of grape-flavored things to begin with. But I thought, let me try it on ice, because the Sunset Sarsaparilla was a very different experience when it was on ice. So I'm going to try it on ice. It's also cold. It's been in my fridge for like a week and a half now. So let's try it. It's got an atomic purple color to it. I don't know. It's coming up kind of black on screen, but like, this is a frosted glass, so it doesn't really help. But when you pour it out, let me see if I can get a little. I'm talking into a microphone that's not even near my face. It's almost like I don't know how to podcast. Holy shit. Let me see if I can get a glimpse of this. So here it is. It smells like medicine. It smells exactly the way I remember. Not a huge fan. Let's see if I like it a little bit more when it's on ice. To you. To you at home. I love you. I'm not gonna lie. This is better on ice. This is one of those. I don't like root beer, but I like it when it's on ice. Actually, I'm not going to lie to you. I had a Sunset Sarsaparilla today. This is, let's see. 33 grams of added sugar, 66% of your daily recommended vitamins and minerals. I like this better on ice. I think a sunset. I had a sunset sarsaparilla on ice today, and it was fantastic. I went to this little soda shoppy that has it, little candies and sodas and whatnot. I actually got a moon pie. It was nice. I'm gonna have another sip because I don't mind it now. That's really nice, actually. That's crazy. Crazy what a little ice can do for you. Also, again, cheers to you. You know, I don't ever think of Nuka-Cola in the games to be cold, because where the hell are you going to get ice? You know what I mean? So the way I'm drinking it when it doesn't have ice is very much in my mind, just the way it is, just the way it's going to be is the way, you know, they drink it. If you drink it straight, raw, even no ice. In Fallout 3, you can get the Nuka-Cola machine in your apartment. But so yeah, like I said, this is a lot better on ice. I'm a big fan of it. On screen, it looks like it's blue, but in my hand, as I record in this frosty glass, this is Grimace. Like this looks like lean. This looks like that purple drink. Like codeine lean sipping on me, or what is it? Double cup hone up got me seeing stars in this bitch one time. It has a medicinal smell, and then you drink it and it's not there. And it's so interesting to me because the ice does so much. I think it's because I even like wine watered down. I don't like the bite. Ah, this is a very good soda. I changed my mind on the soda. If someone at Jones sees this, send me a case, please. I'll shill for you. I'd love to have Jones as a sponsor, especially if they're going to send me a case of sarsaparilla. I probably bought a case and a half while I was in Nevada. I drank so much. I drank so much sarsaparilla while I was there. This is rather good. I'm going to give this... I gave a sarsaparilla a score that I think I should update. I think it should be a little higher. This one's solid. I'm not big on grape stuff. Again, cheers to you. I'm not big on grape stuff, and I'm a little burpy from it, which, of course, it's fizzy, it's bubbly. But I think I'm going to give that one like a 7.9 Cappy and Bottles out of 10. I think that's what I'm going to give it. 7.9 out of 10 is what I like. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, episode 355, right? I hope you've enjoyed. I love you very much. Thanks for sticking around. Stay tuned. Next week, I really, really, really hope to have the New Vegas Day, this Fallout Celebration video finished. That's a tall order, I know. Keep an eye on the Patreon and the Discord if you're part of the film live before a studio audience tier. I'll be letting you know, because if it gets finished, I'm not going to record during the week. Maybe I will. Who knows? We'll figure it out when we get there. I love you. I'll be talking to you soon. The intro music is by Shane Ivers, the one and only Shane Ivers. The song that should be playing right about now is called Feather Duster. It's my intro song. You can get all of his music at silvermansounds.com/freemusic, where all of his stuff is free. Bunch of heaters. Check him out. I want to thank the Patreon again. Check out the Redbubble. If you could, get some merch. I want to point you in the direction of the description, where you can find my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter. There's also an Instagram that I think is down there. If not, I might put it in there, because I posted there when I went to the event. So if you want to see some photos, it's on the Instagram. I love you very much, and I'm very happy that you chose to spend some time with me today, and I will hopefully be seeing you soon. I love you very, very much. I'm going to go now. Be good to one another. Bye. Bye, Kyle. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.